Okay, Gotovah. As announced this evening, I'd like to discuss a topic that has been in the news of late, at least in some circles in the world of kashrus, and that is the question of whether it's permissible to drink milk and to consume dairy products, specifically the milk and dairy products that are commercially manufactured, commercially produced, as is most of the milk, I guess, and most of the dairy products that we eat and drink today. Is that milk and are those dairy products kosher? Why not? So that's what we'll have to see. So I just want to state at the outset, this is not a question about Chol of Yisrael. This is not that issue. That's a shear in its own right. This problem that we'll discuss tonight, if it indeed is a problem whether it's a Jewish-owned dairy plant, a non-Jewish-owned dairy plant, they have constant rabbinic supervision and Jewish presence. The issue of Chol of Yisrael is not the issue for this year. It's also not about the problem that came up about 12 years ago in the mid-1990s when it became known that many dairy plants or many farms, on many farms they inject cows which have intestinal or stomach problems with certain types of injection. And the question was, do those injections render the animal a trefa because it punctures a hole when it goes in? So that was a discussion, as I said, in the mid-1990s. That's not the topic tonight either. It's not totally unrelated, but that's not what we're going to focus on tonight. The problem to focus on tonight is something which was originally brought up, at least to the best of my knowledge, about 3-4 years ago in a number of Torah publications, Torah journals. We'll refer, Bez Hashem, to some of the articles in these Torah journals in the course of the Shir. And it has become a more of a popular issue, or notorious issue, if you will, depending on your perspective, in our circles, because one of the Rabbanim, in the last 6 months or so, who has articulated this issue and this problem, is our Herschel Schachter, Shlita, Marv Rabbi Rav Schachter, who is a Rosh Kol and Rosh Yeshiva University, and he is the go-to person in terms of Psak Halacha for many Rabbanim in our community around here and beyond, and certainly within YU. And more than that, he's also, together with Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, Rav Schachter is the halachic authority for the Orthodox Union, for the OU, which obviously is the major kashrus certification organization in this country, and obviously his opinion is significant and is thought about. And as I say, in the last 6 months or so, since around the Rosh Hashanah time, Rav Schachter has raised this issue and has written a little bit about it and given a few shiurim about it. I didn't hear any of the shiurim. I spoke to him about it briefly privately, but as I say, it's become a more popular cause, a more popular issue around here. So what I'd like to do tonight certainly is not to paskin anything halacha l'maisa. That's what we get to. Are you allowed to drink milk? We'll see. Regular milk. Is milk, the way milk is manufactured today, is it possible for it to be kosher? That's the issue. Okay, I'll get the tenuous connection to Parshas Yisro momentarily. I just want to clarify though that I'm not coming to paskin a halacha l'maisa. Just being over the issue, to go over what the issues are, and everybody should follow their own rabbis. Most of the marmakomas that I'll share this evening are gleaned from some of those articles and some of those Torah publications, copies of which I've brought here. Two publications in particular. One is a journal called Habe'er, which is the journal from the Klosenberg yeshivas in Mostos. And the other is from Beis Aaron Yisrael, which is a journal of the Colin Stolner Chassidish community there, their Torah publication. Also have a couple of letters from Rav Schachter. There are other articles too, which I didn't bring with. Those are the main articles. Those are all in Hebrew. There is an article that will be forthcoming on this subject in English by Rabbi Michal Zilberman. Rabbi Zilberman is a very outstanding young Talmud Chacham in one of the kolos in Yeshiva University. And he wrote up this issue in English that's been printed in one of the forthcoming Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, the so-called RJJ Journal. I think it's not going to be in the one that's about to come out before around Purim time. It'll be in the next one. But Rabbi Zilberman was kind enough to share with me an advanced copy of his article. So I looked it over, and that was also very helpful in terms of just putting together the Maamar Komas. It was just announced that I have to have some tenuous connection to Parshas Yisro. That's our practice. So, of course, in Parshas Yisro, we read about the events of Matan Torah, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very interesting, makes a very interesting comment in connection with a minig that we have that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shavuos. It's really Hilchos Shavuos is the end of Hilchos Pesach. There's no real section in the Shulchan Aruch on the Yontov of Shavuos, but in Siman Tov Tzadi Beis, I'm sorry, Siman Tov Tzadi Dalid, the minig is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Gimel by the Ramoa, that no again we have minig b'kama mechomos lecho macholei cholov b'yom rishon shol Shavuos. There's a minig to eat milchigs on Shavuos. Most of us are familiar with that minig. A lot of discussion about that minig. Does it mean the night of Shavuos, the day, both? Is it instead of your fleishig meal? Is it in addition to your fleishig meal? Whatever it is, a minig to eat milchigs on Shavuos. And the Mishnah Berurah here in the Sivkot and Yud Beis quotes a reason. V'ani shamati od b'shem gadol echad she'omar tam nochon lazeh. The good reason for this practice is ki be'eis she'omdo al har sinai v'kiblu har Torah. At the time when they stood at Har Sinai and received the Torah, they got the whole Torah. Ki baseres hadibros nisgadol hem ha'idei zeh kol chelke ha'Torah k'mo she'kosar Rav Sadja Gaon she'baseres hadibros klula kol ha'Torah. We learned this morning the baseres hadibros, but Rav Sadja Gaon demonstrates how all of the Tayag mitzvahs, all of the 613 mitzvahs are, if you will, incorporated into the baseres hadibros. You want to examine it so you can check the writings of Azhoras of Rav Sadja Gaon. But he works out that all of the whole Torah was really incorporated, included in the Tayag mitzvahs. So continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'yardim in Hahar Leveisom, and people came down after Mamad Har Sinai. Lo motzu malecho techev ki macholei cholov. They only had milking to eat. Why? Ki lebosar tzarech hachana rabba. To have meat, there was a whole issue needed. Yeah, lishchot v'sakin bodok. They heard about the laws of kashrus. In order to eat meat, they would have had to shech the meat with the animals with a properly examined knife. Kashrut tzivah Hashem ulanakeh chute hachelev hadam, and to remove all the chelev, the forbidden fats, and the dam ulhadiach. To wash the meat, to limloach, and to salt it, ulavashal bekelim chadoshim, and they have to cook the meat in new utensils. Ki akelim shahayu lahem mikodim shavishu behem ba'osu meis leis nesu lahem, the other kelim were in kosher, so therefore alkein bachu lahem lefishah ma'acholei cholov. The honor osin zecha lezeh. Mishnah Berurah says that's why we have the practice to eat milchigs on Shavuos, because Lamaisa, that original Shavuos, that's what they did. They ate the milchigs. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Zevin, in the Sefer Amodim Bahalocha, on page Shin Yud Aleph, at least in this edition, in the footnotes, notes something else. He says, according to the Gemara, the Torah, the Aseret HaDibros, were given on Shabbos. V'yesh l'hosif l'hamavur b'gemara sh'b'shabbos nitn Torah l'Yisrael. So mitzad adin lo yochel lishchol posam. They couldn't shecht anyway. They couldn't have meat anyway. It was Shabbos. You know how to shecht on Shabbos. So therefore, they had no choice but to eat milchigs. So there's the connection to Parshas Yisro for those who were looking for it. I'll just note that Rav Sternbuch in the Sefer Modim Muzmanim in Chelak Dalad, it's actually Chelak Ches, but Chelak Ches is like Haoros, addenda to the other section. So Chelak Dalad, Simon Shin Yud Tes, so here it's in Chelak Ches, Simon Shin Yud Tes commenting on that. So he mentions, he quotes this Mishnah Berurah, and he raises the issue, but what about the fact that the others were Mekai in the Torah even before? It takes a little seriously, a Shavuot topic, but then he says, Umargal b'pumi tam acha, I have another reason, and this will lead us right into our discussion. Tam achel minhag achilas macholei cholov. Another reason to eat milchigs on Shavuos. Al pi hagemara bebechoros davov medveis. The salka daiter to cholov osam shum evim nachai. How do we know milk is permissible to begin with? We have a rule that you're not allowed to eat any part of an animal that's still alive. If you have an animal that's alive and I cut off its leg, I can't now cook up that leg. You have to, first, before you can eat an animal, you have to check the animal properly. Then you can eat pieces. Otherwise, it's an issa called evim nachai, a limb. We'll define Ava right now as a limb that has bones and meat and whatever else. So it comes from a living animal, so maybe milk should be in that category. It comes out of the animal. How do we know that that's allowed? So the Gemara there in Bechor Estav Oven Reis works out. Kamash Malon, Mikra, the Shari. The Gemara has, there is Tzukim to demonstrate that in fact milk is kosher. So says the Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the Eshlomar, Shalifnei Matan Torah, the MS, Haya Asa Acholam, Shemeva Menachai. Taka before Matan Torah, maybe milk was also because of Ava Menachai. Because Ava Menachai is one of the seven mitzvahs they know of. The Bnei Noach were already commended concerning Avram and Achai. He asked about Avram Avinu that he served butter to the angel. That's a different problem. He served them meat and milk together. The rock b'matan Torah who the hutalahem cholav. It was taka only by matan Torah they were allowed to drink milk. Al kain chaviv olahem achilas cholav alachay noagim lechol macholei cholav. That's why they They went ahead to eat, to drink milk. He asked about Avraham Avinu. Anyway, enough about that. The issue is that Lamaisa, it's mutter to drink. It's mutter to drink milk. As I said before, this is a Gemara. Okay, correct. So we should eat eggs on Shavuos. Okay, anyway, that's the Shavuos issue. Right, that's the good. So the Gemara, as we just said, that's what I really want to begin with. The Gemara in the Choros, in the first parak on Daf Vav Mabez, discusses the issue of drinking milk to begin with. And the Gemara notes that it's not permissible to drink milk that comes from a non-kosher animal. There are non-kosher animals that give milk also. You're not allowed to drink that milk. The Gemara says, it has different limudim. The Gemara says towards the top of the page, Rabbanan hai gomo gomo ma'avdilei. The Torah mentions in Parsha Shmini that one of the forbidden animals is a camel. A camel is a non-kosher animal. Camels produce milk. I recently read somewhere that camel milk is popular in some places. Apparently it has a long shelf life. So there are people, they're trying to get people, because it apparently keeps a lot better, which makes sense. A camel can go a long time without nutrition. But anyway, Rabbanan hai gomel gomel abdulei, how come you have the word gomel twice? So the Gemara says, chad le'esor atzmo v'chad le'esor chelbo. The Gemara says the word camel, that the Torah mentions that twice, that the camel is also, wants to indicate that the camel itself is also, and the other time to indicate that its milk is also. Then Rav Shimon le'esor chelbo menolei, Rav Shimon uses that for different things. So how does he learn that the chelb, the milk of a camel is also? He says, nafkele me'es ha'gomel. There's an extra word, es. And then the Gemara goes into when we darshan es and when we don't. This is one of the sources of that famous Gemara with Shimon Hamsonov, es Hashem l'kechatira. Fine. Then the Gemara says, we'll skip that part. Then the Gemara says, but ela me'ata tamid rabbanon migomel gomel roshim es ha'gomel. The rabbanon say that the camel milk is also because of the extra word gomel in the pasuk, and Shimon says it's because of the extra s. Whatever it is, halav hachi havamina chalav de behema tamei ashari. If not for those special limudim, would we have thought that milk from a non-kosher animal is kosher? We have a rule that all juices and gravies and other things that come out from non-kosher animals, from tamei animals, are not kosher. So why would we think to begin with that milk it would be allowed to be drunk? What do you have to have a special limud to ask for milk from a non-kosher animal? So Gemara says, I might have thought that since milk even from a kosher animal is taka chiddush, why? Like I just mentioned before, the Amar Mar, for one reason, is dam nekar and asa cholav. The Gemara has one opinion of whether this is true scientifically or biologically, and I don't know, but the Gemara has, and it applies in other places also, for women, and with beneath and other things, it mentions that somehow the animal produces milk, the production of the animal's milk is related to its blood flow. Dam, the blood, somehow produces the milk. Again, the anatomy of it is not for now, but the kevan, and therefore I might have thought that just like dam is also, you're not allowed to eat the blood from an animal, even from a kosher animal, not allowed to eat blood. So since the milk is related to the blood, so you're not allowed to eat the milk either. That's what the Gemara says as a havamina. The kevan, the chiddush, and the kamash malon, we are allowed to. The kevan, the chiddush, who behema tmei anamalish, I might have thought that since milk altogether is a chiddush, you're allowed to drink milk, because I might have thought that it should be also, even if it comes from a kosher animal. So lemaisa, no, we have a rule that it is kosher, so maybe milk is an exception to all the rules, and therefore it's also an exception to the rule of yotzim and aser, that it comes from a non-kosher animal, maybe I have to think that it's also kosher, so that's why you need the special limud. Then the Gemara says, hanich lamadam adam nekra nasa chola. That's good if you hold this limud that there's some relationship between the dam and the milk. Elamadamar, evar mispark and hemen, avein nafsa chazes, a different reason. So what do you say? We won't go into that sheet, but he just says, it's tarich, like I said before, like of Sternbach, for the tzalk, the daita chamina. Hold the lekem, the us, just a minute. Yeah, the us michai v'sharach one of a high cholof, ke evim anachayu. We might have thought that milk should be given the status of evim anachai. Kamashon, milk is not given the status of evim anachai. And again, once milk is an exception to the usual rules, I might have thought it's also an exception if it comes to a non-kosher animal. Adkan, that's the Gemara in Bechoris, Dav Vav Medbei. So Lamaisa, it comes out from this Gemara that number one, milk from a kosher animal is permissible, and milk from a non-kosher animal is not permissible. The Gemara has explained why you needed to say both things. That's the Gemara in Bechoris, Dav Vav Medbei. The truth is, the Mishnah on the previous page, the end of the Mishnah, Dav Hei Medbei, the Mishnah has a rule. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah sets up a general rule that which is a byproduct of a tome of a non-kosher animal is itself non-kosher, and that which is a byproduct of a kosher animal is kosher. That's the sugya in Bechoros, huh? Tome and tar. Okay, good. Come on. That's so far. I'll just point out there is another Gemara that's relevant to this issue, and that is the Gemara in Chulin on the Samech Dalet Amud Beis, based on a different pasuk in Parsha Shmini, where a certain type of bird is identified there as a bas hayana. It's one of the types of birds that the Torah lists. It says, the Gemara says, Amar Chizki, and it's Edgar, your issue, Amar Chizki, minayin lebeitzas tamei ashi asura min atara. How do we know that the egg of a non-kosher bird is non-kosher? Shenemar ves bas hayana. It refers to the bas hayana. The chibas yesh al yana, does this yana have a daughter? What does it mean? Ela eza zubeitzas tamei. What does that refer to? Zubeitzas tamei. Okay, so that's a reference from the word bas hayana, and then the Gemara discusses whether that's a proper reference or not, but that's another reference that yotzei min hatameh, something which derives, which is a byproduct of a non-kosher animal or bird, is itself non-kosher. And that's how the Rambam paskins in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Macholos Asuros Halacha Aleph, the Rambam states it, kol machal hayotzei mimin min hamin hasurin, any food which comes from a forbidden food, any forbidden species, back to your poor mark, that's the Rambam's lashon, min min haminin, ha'asurin shaloka al-chilosim, for which you get malchus, would eat it, harei osa machal osur v'achila min ha-Torah. That product is also osa min ha-Torah. Kegon, cholov behema v'chaya ha-tmeyim, like milk from a non-kosher animal, or behema or chaya, u'beitzei of the dog ha-tmeyim, or eggs from a bird or from fish that are non-kosher, shenemar, and the Rambam, for whatever reason, uses the lingud in chulin, shenemar bezbas hayana zu beitzasa hu adin lechola aser kiyana lechola hadvarma domen lebeitza. So it's eggs and milk. The Rambam, as I say, follows the Gemara from chulin for whatever reason. Again, we don't have to go into that in detail now, but the bottom line is that's the halacha. Anything which comes out from a non-kosher species is itself non-kosher. Yeah. Right, that's in that sugya, and Bechoros also discusses honey, but it's not really the byproduct, correct, and a chanami. Okay, now, what about a trefa? So far, we've noticed that it says the word min. So far, all of the limudim have been, if it's from a non-kosher species. But a trefa, let's say you have a kosher species, but it's a trefa. The pasuk says, in next week's session, we could have spoken about this next week too, it says, ubosar besada trefa lo sochelo, pasuk in Shmos, parakhov beis, pasuk lamed, it says you're not allowed to eat meat from an animal which is classified as a trefa. We'll see in a second what that means. You're not allowed to eat it, the meat which is a trefa. In common, the colloquial expression, trefa means anything that's not kosher. That's the way we use it in the Yiddish, if something is trefa. He asked a kid, I asked my son last night, what does treif mean? Because it means not kosher. So pig is treif, but technically that's not really correct. The treifa means a certain specific anatomical defects. In fact, the Mishnah says in Chulin, on Daf Mem Beis, and all of those who want to look it up, Eilu treifas bebehema, the Mishnah lists the following treifas, Nekubas HaBeshav, has a hole here and a puncture there. The Mishnah has a list of 18 things which make an animal trefa. Again, we're talking about now from a kosher species, perfectly cut, a cow, a kosher species, but if it has certain of these defects, so it renders a trefa. The Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita is in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shechita Halacha Tes. The Rambam works out that for a grand total, he gets from these 18 and from all the Gemaras and everything else, the Rambam brings the total, grand total number up to 70. Perek Yud of Hilchos Shechita Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, Nimtzu kol ha-trefas ha-menuyos kishiyibhartu ve-efshu shiyimtzu ve-hemav v'chaya shivim. There are 70, and list them one by one, there if you want to look it up, Rambam Mithil Shkita Perek Yud Halacha Tes. They're all together 70 things which render an animal a trefa, and there's a whole perek in Chulin about it, Eilu trefas, a whole section of Shuhara, Chuchas trefas, and so on. So now, huh? Are they all derisive? No, probably not. No. Okay. Anyway, good, so that's the background of such a thing called a trefa. There is a mission, so far we haven't seen that milk from a trefa, we haven't seen specifically that milk from a trefa is non-kosher. All we've seen is that milk from a non-kosher animal is non-kosher, and we've been introduced to the concept of trefa, so we don't really have a specific statement, and to the best of my knowledge there is no such specific statement in the Gemara that indicates that in fact an animal which is a trefa that produces milk, that milk is non-kosher. I don't know of any open statement in the Gemara. There is a Mishnah in Chulin, however, on Daf Kut. See, a Mishnah begins on Kut Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, and goes on to Amud Beis. And Amud Beis, we find the following statement. So at the top of the page, Kut Tez Zayin Amud Beis, the Mishnah says that Ksheira Sheyanka Min HaTrefa, you have a kosher animal that suckled milk, nursed milk from a trefa animal. So kavosa asura, the keva, the stomach, where the is asur. Now the issue that the stomach was sometimes used to make cheese. I think, you know, until relatively recently that's how you made cheese, right? Because there's enzyme interaction between the lining of the stomach and the cheese. That's how you make milk. That's how you used to make it. Now probably they do it in different ways, but that's how you used to make milk into cheese. So the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses using the or kevas nevela in the stomach. So anyway, the Mishnah here says ksheira sheyonkam and atreifa kavosa asura and the treifa sheyonkam and aksheira kavosa muteris meishakonus b'meyeho. The milk goes in, so that affects the status of the stomach. That's the Mishnah in Chulin on Kuf Tes Zayin and Beis. So commenting or extrapolating from that Mishnah, the Rif on Daf Yud Tes Amar Aleph, this is in the parak called Eilu Treifas, the Rif on Daf Yud Tes Amar Aleph in his pages says the following. V'chihechi debetzes treifa asura, chelba, the milk, not chelim, the chalava, shel behema treifa nami asur. The Rif says openly that the milk of a treifa animal is forbidden. The Tanan, he quotes this Mishnah, Ksheira Shiyonkam and Atrefa Kevas Asura. A kosher animal that drinks from milk from a non-kosher mother, so to speak, from the milk of a non-kosher other animal. So the stomach is Asur. The Afa Gav the Lav Hachi Hilchason, even though the Rif says we don't pass like that Mishnah. The Kaimel on the Cholof Shabatocha Keva Pishri Almahu. We pass in the milk that's left inside the stomach is not considered milk for other reasons, not our topic. Nevertheless, Paskin's the Rif, Gamrina Mina, the Chol of Trefa, Sheena Betocha Keva also, that the milk from a Trefa, when the milk from a Trefa went into the stomach of this kosher animal that suckled from it, so we don't Paskin like this Mishnah. We say that the, right, digested, and therefore it's not considered the same product anymore, and consequently, the milk is mutter. So we don't Paskin like what that Mishnah says. But, the Rif says, nevertheless, if the milk did not go into the digestive system of the suckling, other behemoth. Rather, it remained, it was plain milk, so it's also. That's the Rif's Psak. The Rosh Paskins this way as well. The Rosh is in the third parak in Parag Gimel, Simon Nun Beis. The Rosh almost verbatim. He says, V'chihech the Beit HaTrefa Asura, V'chalov Anami Asir. The milk is also Asir from a Trefa, the Tnan, K'sheish Sherash Yankam and a Trefa Kevos Asura, V'afagav the Les Hilchasa. Nevertheless, that's not the Halacha. Can we pass in its pirsha ba'alma? It's a different entity. It's been digested. The shari, gamina mina, therefore it's mutter when it's in the stomach of the other animal. Still, gamina mina, the chol of trefa, she'ena betocha keva asura. Other milk for trefa is also, huh? That's from before. I don't go to that now. But the point is that this is the, it's in the Seches Beis also. That's in the first paragraph about trefa. But anyway, I don't want to go into that in detail other than to comment that although, again, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have an explicit statement in the Gemara saying that the milk from a trefa is trefa. We have the Rif and we have the Rosh. Certainly, obviously, the important Rishonim and the Rambam as well in Parag Gimel of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, that same parag that we referred to before in Parag Gimel Halacha Yud. The Rambam also paskins this way, saying, behema tahora shenitrafa. If you have a kosher animal which became treif, right, with one of those 18 or equals 70 types of treifa, chalava aser kechalav behema tamea. Its milk is aser, just like the milk of a behema tamea, a non-kosher animal. So that's the halacha. That's what they say from the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, and we'll see later in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So the milk from an animal is from a treifa animal is non-kosher. Now, the question is, so what do we do? Does that mean that now, whenever you want to drink milk, you have to ascertain that the cow that's producing the milk is not a trefa, is a kosher? That would mean, basically, that every time you had milk, you'd have to milk the cow, then shecht it to make sure that, or give it an MRI or something like that, an x-ray, to see if, if it has a trefa, yeah. There are some, but many are not. No, many are not. Many are, you can only tell when you go inside, yeah. Many can tell when you go inside. So the answer is you don't. You don't have to examine every, for every one of these trefas, because the Gemara in the first perk of Chulin, a famous sugya, introduces us or discusses at great length the concept of rov. And we know this from many areas of halacha, that azlinan basa ruba, and the assumption is that most cows, most animals, are not trefas. There are such things as trefas, but most animals are not trefas, and the Gemara discusses, and it starts on that yud aleph from an aleph, the Gemara says, minoha, Milsa, the Amar Rabbanan Zil Basa Ruba, how do we know that it's true, Zil Basa Ruba, that we have Azlin and Basa, it's also, what would be another connection to next week's subject, because it says, Afrei Rabin Lahatos, right, that we follow the Rove. And that's the Gemara. The Gemara asks exactly what the Mokor is. The sugya goes on for more than a blot, trying to figure out what the exact source is, and it brings up other examples that you know have some relevance. And then the Gemara makes a distinction here between two different types of rov. One type of rov the Gemara calls a ruba de issa kamon. Ruba de issa kamon is a rov that we can see. You know, you can see, and you know, you go on test chanuyos, like the famous story. You had the 10 stores that sell meat, and 9 of them are kosher, one is not kosher. So that's a rov, and you find a piece of meat in that mall. So you follow the rov, you can see that's ruba de issa kamon. I guess we could call a quantifiable rov. Okay, in math, I could call that closed set, right? It's a quantifiable rove. As opposed to what's called, or Sanhedrin, another example is Sanhedrin, right? The Sanhedrin votes on or the Bezdin votes on a particular decision, so we go by the rove. We have majority rules. So that's a quantifiable rove. It's called Ruba de Issa Kamon. And there's another thing called Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Kegon Katan Uktana. What you have, this relates to the Deen of Yibum, let's say some people never develop sexual organs properly. A woman can become what's called an islandess. I'm not talking about a hormonal imbalance, it's something else. And some males also never develop the physical signs. So that's a minority of people, obviously, not as minority of people. But when you look at a particular cotton or a particular tana, you don't know at that point, that's a different type of a rope, right? You can't tell. It's not a matter of counting up, you don't know, right? But on the other hand, we can assume, and we apply it in many areas, that this child is from the rove. So that's what the Gemara discusses, the difference between Ruba de Lesa Kamon and Ruba de Issa Kamon. And as I say, the sugya goes on to look for different sources, for example, with regards to trefa. How do you know, let's say, by the paraduma? The paraduma can't be a trefa, but they burn it right away. So how can you tell there's a paraduma or the sar hamishtaleach? The sar that's pushed off the cliff in, you know, on Yom Kippur. So, again, those are some of the discussions that come in that Gemara regarding rov. Now, the bottom line is we accept rov. The bottom line is we accept that we can say, Azlina, obviously unless we have definitive information to the contrary, we can assume that rov works. However, the Gemara concludes that the rov works. However, and therefore that would solve our problem here, we could say, look, most animals are not trefas, and therefore we have the right to assume on any given animal, this is not a trefas, you can eat the milk, you can shecht it. Now if when you shecht it, you see that a taka had one of these, problems that the Rambam enumerates, so then, okay, then you know that the rove was not correct. It was this animal's not part of the rove. But until that point, you can rely on the rove, and therefore we're allowed to drink milk from an animal because we can assume that this animal comes from the rove of the animals in the world, that are not trefus. You're a mayor, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara's later on, some bring up, the Gemara should have asked against the mayor, how do you ever drink milk? That's a good point. Okay, but I don't know if I'll get that or not, but the question is brought up. So Lamaisa, they say you can rely on the rove. However, there is a statement by the Ramban in the Milchamas Hashem in Chulin, it's Tav Gimel Amud Beis in the pages of the Rift. The Ramban talks about when there's a rove, and against the rove you have a miut. There's the majority and there's a minority. So the Ramban distinguishes now between different types of miut. There is something called a miut hamotzui. A miut, it's a minority, but it's a noticeable minority, it's a distinguishable minority, a prevalent minority. So Ramban writes as follows, V'chein motzino b'chol mokom shechoshin lechatchilo b'rov shemiyutu motzui. Okay, even if it's against the chazokah, k'gon v'dikas trefos b'sircha. Ramban and Mechamas there in Chulin, again, Dav Gimel Veiz in the pages of the Rift, and it's also, he says the same thing in his Chidushim, in the Chidush Ramban to the first perk of Chulin, it's Dav Gimel Veiz, he says, A sircha is like some form of an adhesion on the lungs of the animal. I don't know the anatomy exactly that well, but apparently the membrane around the lung is it touches the membrane of the ribs, and sometimes there are these adhesions which are called sirchas, and certain of these sirchas are among the trefas that render the animal trefe. So the Ramban says, both here in the Mechamas in Chulin on Dav Gimel Beis in the pages of the Rift, and in his Kedushim on Dav Gimel Beis in Chulin, the Ramban says you have to check the circus of the Reya, because even though it's true that most animals are not trefus and most animals don't have these problems with adhesions on the lungs, but there is a miut hamotzui, there is this a prevalent minority of cases. It's enough of a minority, so to speak, that requires us, at least l'chatchila, says the Ramban, to examine it. And that's exactly what they do in the slaughterhouse. They check the lungs. Huh? Right, that relates to the difference between God kosher, correct?
Right.
Okay, so there are, but that's based on this Ramban, that you have to take a look and see to it that the because these sirchas are distinguishable or noticeable or prevalent minority, that requires us to check it, and that's exactly what we do. Now, what exactly is considered a miyut hamotzi, how much of a miyut does it have to be? So that's a discussion. The Rivash, actually, in one place, in one of his tshuvas, in some Kutsari Aleph, the Rivash says, miyut motzi shem rotzalomer shu karov lemechza. It's close to half the cases, which is a large number. That's the Rivash. The Rogeli is dumer dimmer de miyut motzi muskam afarshim besirchos hareya, which he says is often the case by the lungs. But that's what that's how the Rivash defines miyut hamotzi. However, the world generally, this is one comment, generally follows, I think, you know, in terms of halacha, generally follows the shita of the Mishkanos Yaakov. The Mishkanos Yaakov was the Yaakov Karliner, who was the primary Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The people say we don't know that much about Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He was the Talmud of the Gro. He didn't leave that much in writing, but they say you can tell who Reb Chaim Volozhiner was because who his Talmidim were. Talmidim were the Mishkanos Yaakov. I think David Pevels, I think, was other. But anyway, the Mishkanos Yaakov is a sort of a classic, one of the classic Achronim. His brother, I think, is the Yitzhak Karliner, who wrote the Karen Orem. Those in yeshivas, they're more familiar with the Karen Orem. Anyway, so the Mishnah Yaakov writes in one of his tshuvas, this is in Chelek Eredei, Simon Yud Zayin, he says, what is the business of Miut Hamotzi? Anyway, without going into his riots, he brings a riot from the Gemara about wine relating to Truma, when wine turns. So he says, he says, "Hare lehedish shir yayin amiskalkel uchelik asiri." He says that there with wine, it's 1/10. So the Mishnah Yaakov is of the opinion that miyut hamotzi is 10%, and I think that others have a lower amount. One of the letters that that I have here that Rav Shechter wrote, he said he heard from the name of Rav Yashiv, it's 7.5%. Others have different numbers, but I think it's generally ungenuman, like they say, like the Mishkas Yaakov, 10%. But that's called Miyat HaMotzi. Lemaisa, whatever the number is, if you have this Miyat HaMotzi, the Ramban tells us that you have to actually do a Bedika to see, you know, even though it's... we'll get into that. We'll get to it one step at a time. Yeah. We'll get to it in a moment. Yeah. We'll get... Okay, but the question is, if the animal was a... if it turns out that the animal was a trefa, that means all the milk that came from this animal was... That's what we're going to see. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Okay, so let's see. So just to see the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Lamed Tes of Yoredeya, it's a Simon Lamed Tes, Sif Aleph, Ein Sorach Livdok Achar Shum Trefus Min Astam. Generally, we don't have to check for trefus because we can assume that an animal comes from the road that don't have trefus. Chutz Min Hareya, except for the lung, Tzorach Livdok, Mehemim V'chayim Yesh Po Sirchi. You have to look for these adhesions in the lung. Okay, and v'chol aparitz gedel lecho b'lovedika yishchenu nachas, right? The Mechaber says it's not proper to, we'll put it in a kinder term, it's not proper to disregard this. Again, because the adhesions in the lung is a more prevalent minority, it's a miyut hamotzi, whatever the percentage is, but since it's a more prevalent, then for the reya you have to check. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach, in Tzivkot and Beis, actually writes, she'alula litareif mitnei asirchos. It's common for it to become trefor, it's a more common because of these sirchas, because of the adhesions. And then he writes, Ushar trefus to Shvichi Bey. That's a discussion in Poskim, where once you have to check for all the other trefus too, or just the sirchas and lungs, not our topic right now. Now, as was just mentioned, the Shach in the next piece, in Sif Kot and Gimel, writes, Masma de Bzika Zumi Drabbanam. This requirement to check is only Drabbanam. Either right, so we follow the rules. But midi rabbanon, based on Ramban, midi rabbanon, you have to check. That's b'dikas u'midi rabbanon u'kemavur b'dibra poskim shevi b'shelsev ayin b'sivkot neches. He points ahead to sivkot neches, and he says again, the sifri ochachti mikama rayas to lechula alma b'dikas harei enel midi rabbanon, and he brings various rayas. The truth is, the Ramo himself says it later in that same Simon's Lamed Tes Sif Yud Zayin, where the Ramo himself writes the b'dikas raya the rabbanon. This requirement to check out the lungs is a requirement that is. That is midrash bonum. Now, the fiyah. Though some are, it depends which one. So that's part of the problem because we don't know. I don't know if we lost the tradition or whatever it is. We don't exactly know which types of adhesions and punctures are considered derisive and which aren't. But anyway, it's Darabonim. Nonetheless, there are more, the Chabad writes in the next Sif Beis, is again Yoredeh Siman Lamed Tes, Misha Korah Bet Nabayim, V'kodem Shetivda Kareyav. This is what Yitzhak was saying, Bo Kelev Ovi Kachomim Nato V'halachlo. What happens if they were shechting an animal, and you know, the animal's out there, and before they got a chance to check the lung, somebody took it away. Somebody took it, an animal took it, or a goy bought it, whatever, before they got to check it. And they never got to check it. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Harei Zu Muteris. That's Mutter. Because again, even though we're requiring you to check the lung, but if it's not possible to do it, then it's not possible to do it. The Ein Omrim Shem and the Kuvos Rucha Hoysa. And you don't have to say, well, no, maybe it should be traced because maybe this had a hole in it. That's the Mechaber. The Ramor, though, is Machris Yesh Machmirin Im Nevda Hareya the Ein Lahat Dirak Mokam Hefsed Godel. The Ramor doesn't want to go as far. He said it's only Mutter if there's some sort of a Hefsed, which, you know, well, there could be. So the question now is as follows. We have a din that requires, for meat purposes, requires us to check for to see if it's a trefa. What's the story with the milk? So on one end you can answer, well, the case of milk, like you were saying before, it should be similar, to the case where the rea disappeared, you know, the lung, you can't do it. It's not practical to go ahead every time you milk an animal to go and check it and see if it's a trefa. And therefore it should be similar to the case that the Shulchan Aruch just mentioned, that if you can't do it, then we can rely on the roll. We don't have to worry about this chumen d'rabbanan. And maybe we should say the same thing. Look, on the other hand, the Ramah says it's only by hefsed merubah. So maybe we should come up with some system. Yes. You'll see about that shortly too if we get to it. So, good point, we'll see. But anyway, that's the question is why don't we worry about this when it comes to milk? So the truth is, it could be that milk, that the din of milk is not the same as the din of meat, in terms of this issue. The Mishkas Yaakov in that same tshuva raises this. This was a discussion to the Mishkas Yaakov in the base of Ephraim of Simon Zalman Margolis. He says, "Mach shehikshom atmalas kvodo imbanu lochos." If we're going to worry about this, then af anu nosiv lochos panyetsim together rov nachos lachol v'legrinos. Why aren't we also worried about milk and cheese that comes from animals which have the same issue? So he says, and he quotes from Shulas Rashba. He says, "Avemes hadavar muchrach lechalik v'zedim lo kain." Lama lo mokinim b'gemara dazvinim basaruba imad desharn chalav achilas u'achacha brura. They should have brought a raya against Reb Meir. Yitzchak refers to Reb Meir doesn't accept the principle of rov. It's machlokas. He doesn't accept rov in general. Reb Meir is chayish l'miyuta. And impacts many dinim with demai many dinim. But the Mishkas Yaakov said we should have brought a raya against Reb Meir. What do you mean? You're allowed to drink milk, right? So, and begam Reb Meir, the chayis umiyuta, havel elakshir, heich echol chalva, elavada sheik chilip ben heter chalav lebosar. Evidently, there's a difference between treating this as milk and meat, and he says that the tam shah chalav echeskis heter omi yosim in abosar, shal koponim bechaya osu ke'evim in achai. He says, in terms of chazoka, the animal has a past history. See, the animal before it shechted, the meat is osur, of Eivim and Achai. So now when you shecht it, you need something to take it out of Eivim and Achai. So there is a previous status, a previous chazokah, if you will, of an animal that the meat was osur. When it was alive, the meat was osur. But with milk, you have no such parallel. When it was alive, you know, the milk is mutter. So and it's a different, in other words, it's he's saying that the chazokah is stronger with regards to milk than with regards to meat. Yeah. Yeah. Also, right, we'll see about that a little bit. Right. And a chanami. As far as I know, we'll see. Right. Right. We have nothing to make it, yeah. Right, right, right. Okay. The what? So he says further, Rav Shechter, quotes in one of his letters, he says, Alzeh, Shivani Agon of Al-Yashiv, he met with Al-Yashiv about this, so he says, Kediva Achonam Asun Peyal, Shemedina Tamid Yeshrov Ksheros, Umasha Osim Kokav Derak Vitoris Chumra, Velohech Mira Al-Acholot, Kemoshech Mira Al-Abosar, and he refers to Magid Mishra, which may see later, Isser Yotzim and Osir Gidro Kedugmas Isser Chotzi Shir, because there's no Malkus, it's a different type of Isser, because it could be that milk is only Osir because of an Isser Asay. But anyway, so there are other reasons why Rav Avadya Yosef actually had, well, I won't go into it now, just, yeah. I may come back to that. So he says that it could be that the whole Isser of Yotzim and of milk is based on an Isser Asay. On the trefa. Because the trefa, we'll see why, we may come to it. I shouldn't have brought up without going into detail, but we may come back to it. Rav Avadia Yosef has a comment in the Tshuvas, Yabia Omer, it's Chelek Ches, Yoredeya Simen Beis, Os Yud Gimel. He mentions also why, discussed that milk is also different, and he says that, he quotes some of the things we quote. He quoted from Mordechai that, he says, Chaim Mash Mektsas, he mentions the issue with Reb Meir, why didn't they ask against Reb Meir? So he brings up some of these issues also to demonstrate why milk is different than meat, and while he's not willing to accept it totally, he is willing to accept it as what he calls a snif lahakel. If we have other reasons to be makel, then we can bring this into it as well. The truth of the matter is, though, that all of this will be based on the fact that Lamaisa, most of these animals are not trefas. So the Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya Simen Pei Aleph, Sivkot and Dalet, and we should really come back to that, I should have read this before, but I'll read it now. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Pei Aleph, we'll read the Shulchan Aruch first. Cholav behema chayat tmeya o trefa, etc. is asurim kibsarim. Like we said before, like the Rambam, the milk of a behema and a chayah, which is tmeya or a trefa, is asur, and okay. Now, what's that? That's what it looks like, groups them together. Okay? Now, in Sivkot and Dalet, the Pischei Tshuva raises the following question, or comment. He says, Ayin b'tshuvas tiferes tzvi, shepikpek rav echa dememekomo shchichi trefos kemok seres. A certain rav found a situation where there were many, many trefos. In his town, it turns out that whenever they shechted animals, a lot of them were trefos. It wasn't just a small number. It happened all the time. And therefore he asked, Eich nechol chema v'cholov. How can we eat the butter and the milk from these animals? Okay, the leka ruben dixeris b'makom zeh. Because in this part of the world where this rabbi was, the taka wasn't true. You didn't have the rove. Everything we said now is based on rove. But apparently in this town, the metzias were that there were many trefas. In fact, this is the situation today. The situation today has been shown, or it's, the statistics demonstrate that there's a staggering number. Reports that he was in Johannesburg, South Africa, where it was over, they found out it was over 90% of the animals were trefa. This could be because of who knows what they do nowadays to animals. You can look, yeah.
What do you mean when you say there?
We'll see. Good. Circus on the lung. Good point. Very good. Circus on the lung. Okay, but with circus on the lung adhesions. Okay, we'll see. We'll have to see. That's an important point. But anyway, the point is, it's a very important point. We'll come back to it in a second. But they found out here in the OU, there's someone reported somewhere, some plant that was 80%, but some huge number, but certainly more than Rove. I mean, that's for sure. So this was the Shiloh already that the Pischei Tshuva had. The Matthias saw it. They found that there were more animals that were trefa than just a small amount. No, but they use it for a while for dairy, and then they slaughter them eventually. Then they slaughter them eventually. Apparently. Yeah, they inject it. Right. So that I mentioned, that's what, yeah, they may have impacted. But anyway, okay, so whatever caused it, but this is a child that came up right in Pischei Tshuva, yeah. Okay, so he refers to the Sefer Tiferes Tzvi, which I don't have that Sefer, but I went to the YU library and got a hold of it. So this Shalos Tshuvas Tiferes Tzvi, his name was Tzvi Hirsch Baschko, who was the Rav in Altona, Hamburg, Wandsbach, a big city, Hamburg, which is better known as the center for the Machlokas in the Vienna of Eberschutz and the Yaakov Emden. Before, he was the Rav in the later 1700s, I think the last Rav of that triple city. But anyway, so in his Tshuvas in Yoredeya, Simon Yud Gimel, he writes as follows: Al dvar se pitpeit the makom shikhe treves kong sheres eich necho chema v'cholov the leker with the sheres makom zeh near a lead the hetem he trey tame. So I think that's mutter for two reasons. Chada, and this relates to something we were saying, the rov ena b'shchita, the shema v'cholov b'emas nishchotos, the shema nishchotos, ikar rov tseres. Number one, what do you know about? You only know about the animals which were actually slaughtered. But maybe if you take the animals which are slaughtered and all the rest of the live animals, the rov would still be in place. In other words, you don't know, that's his first attempt, or his first answer. And the truth is that the Ramor writes in Sif Yud Beis, the Ramor says, Sif Beis, the Simon Pei Aleph at the end, is Yes Osim Afilu B'Sircha Masenechlov Tov Shlosha Yomin. These sirchas apparently take 3 days to develop. So if you have an animal, you find the sircha, this adhesion in the lung, so then lemaisa, the Ramos seems to be saying that you're makel if it, on all the milk that came before the three days after you found it. So that's really what he's saying, this deferrer. He's saying that if you test it in all the animals, okay, yeah, true. Now when they check the animals, they find they have a lot of sirchas in the lung. Many of them have sirchas, many of them have adhesions on the lung. But these adhesions may have been for the last 3 days, and if you take into account all the live animals, maybe the rove is still present. So that's one answer that he gives, and it fits in, again, he doesn't quote it, but it fits in with that Ramah. The problem is, okay, I won't read it inside now just to save time, but Rabbi Belsky, and from the OU, in one of the editions, one of the journals, Mesorah, in Chaf Aleph, number Chaf Aleph, on page Samach Gimel, says, yeah, that's good if you have occasional, but if so many animals have sircha, he's not convinced that Ramah would be operative. And one of the articles that I brought, and again, I'm going to save time, I'm not reading inside, but someone can look over, Dov Weiss, he's the brother of Rabbi Asher Weiss, who's well known here. He, I think, is a son-in-law of the Kolzenberger Rebbe. So Dov Weiss, in one of the journals, also says that we don't, if the animal has many sirchas, we don't rely on it. So that's his first teretz. The second teretz is the su, the hu ikar be'inayin, this I think is the real answer. The Hotosis said in Chulin daf Yirah of Hiksu Dilma Hodelo Chashim at Trevet Azina Basa Chazaka at Trevet Anachaya, the Tirit of a Chazaka Shalom Nisbarra. You know, what Chazaka do we have? This is an important sugi in general. The Hotosis of Chulin daf Yirah of Aleph, the Divar Masko Asya. So Hotosis there says, that there's no real chazaka on the status of the animal when it's still alive. Why? Because we never had any definitive knowledge. What do we don't know definitively. That's called a chazaka shalom isbara of the shaifa. It's relevant to the Tosin beginning. Neither talks about it. One of these nice yeshiva shesugiyas on chazaka. So that's called chazaka shalom isbara of the shaifa. That's the opinion of Tosis. However, the Rashbah, in the Chedusha Rashbah to Chulin there, and Daf Yud Aleph Mat Aleph, the Dir Masva Asya, the Rashbah says, no, that still is a valid Chazaka. Even though there was no definitive knowledge, whatever reason, he in effect says, and I won't go into the lumbus of it, but the rove creates a Chazaka. Okay, how that works, again, so, that's in the Shmaitz, and this is a nice yeshiva Shasugi, but that's the sheet of the Rashbah. So based on this, the Teferes Tzvi says the follows. He says, Rashbah Kosov, the hashtag of Dinah Basuba Havi Chazaka, Habo Machmas Harov, the Hine Madishchichi, some trapers, ain't a trapers in a betem, Rakshin is Abu Acharkach. Im came, the Shah, Shenolda, there was no Chazaka, Habo Machmas Harov, Shenolda Ksheira, what David was saying before. Lemaisa, what do we know? We know now that we shechted the animal, has a trapa, has a sircha. But when it was born, it didn't have it. Okay, and last year it may not have it. When it was in its milking prime, so to speak, it may not have had it. And we don't have any, and even though Tosis says that's not a valid chazaka, because lo nisbara, we never knew, but the Rashbah and many other Rishonim disagree that Tosis hold that it is a valid chazaka. And therefore, we're allowed to assume that it's kosher. And the truth is the Ramah, in that same Ramah, in Pei Aleph, in Sif Beis, the Ramah accepts this school. The Ramah accepts this leniency against Tosa. So again, that's another teretz that the first three offers. And then he offers a third teretz. Again, the only question is that okay? That's that. Then he's, even though he says I'm only giving two teretz, he seems to offer a third. He brings up the issue of sfeik sfeika. Okay, sfeik sfeika, double doubt. Because even Tosis, according to Tosis, who says that this chazaka shalom isbara b'shata doesn't work, but Tosis says, the same Tosis, b'treifa machma shehareya hisrucha. But if it's a treifa, and again you were all alluding to this, if it's a treifa because of a sircha and he's on the lung, the im hayu b'kir livdok efsa shala heter, if we knew exactly what the adhesion is kosher, which is no good, which are good, we would have been able to determine. It's just that we don't know. So then, first of all, who says that it's a real sircha, it's a real treifa? And even if it is, maybe it became treifa later on. So on the basis of this sveksveika, that it was, we can pin the treifa, you know, there are different types of, there's a long taz in Sivkot and Gimel here in Siman Payala, there are different types of treifa. So certain treifa the animal is born with. The animal has an extra toe, okay? Well, that's called kolayesa kenipal dummy, anything of extras, like if something's missing, so that's a treifa. That the animal is born with. But many other treifas, many treifas develop at the very last moment, when you're shechting it, so the, I guess the process of shechita causes whatever trauma, whatever it is, so, you know, that makes a hole in the brain or whatever, that's at the last minute, then you have sirchas. And, according to this Tosus, and that's at the first, the third approach, based on this Tosus, you have this, sveik-sveika. Now, the question is whether the Sveik Sveika works all the time or not is an interesting question. The Darkei Tshuva, from the Munkaz of Darkei Tshuva, in that same Simon Pei Aleph, in his essay in Sivkot and Nun Gimel, says, yeah, but if you find sirchas that are very thick, so then you can tell that it didn't just develop in the last 3 days. So sometimes you may have that problem. The Shagas Aryeh also has a Tshuva that relates to this, a discussion relates to this in Simon Samach Dalet. Shagasari says, he quotes an Or Zeruah, talking, his topic here is shechting on Yontif. Are you allowed to, we know you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. You couldn't shecht an animal before Yontif, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif, huh? No, even the first day on Yontif, right? A lot of shecht on, you couldn't do it before because it's for food, anything for food, right? So it's for food. You didn't have, you want to have fresh meat on Yontif, so you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. Yeah, but what about the fact that it may be a trefa? So Shagasari also apparently his time had the same problem, that many of the animals turned out to be trefa, so you shouldn't be allowed to shecht it. Okay, if the makom shat treifas mitzvus kmo aksheres also l'shchot fame of the yontif. Anyway, the Shagasariya says no. The Shagasariya says because many of these, the whole bedik is on the rabbanon. I mean, a Torah, you know, the high time you have to check the reya. But lemaisa, he also concludes that it should be mutter because we don't really know. It's not necessarily a treifa. The Darkei Tshuva quotes other achronim like this in. Earlier in Simon, same Simon Peyal of Yurches, he quotes the Shagas Aryeh and he quotes other Svarim that says many of the trefas are, what are we relying with milk? He says, because rov trefas ain't a mikra din. Most trefas are not lemaisa really trefas. Okay? The ruban heim rak mamfas chumra. Like the Shagas Aryeh just said. Most of the trefas are only because of a chumra, machmas safek, and therefore he says that, we're allowed to be lenient with regard to the milk. So this is all very good so far. But someone else mentioned another thing. You know, the Gemara says treifa ino chaya. The treifa can't live for more than 12 months. So there's a Rashbo. What does that mean? It can't live. What if it does? Okay, so Rashbo says it's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? Now, so if it does, so here we have sort of this sort of Dov Weiss brings this up. Again, I don't have time to read inside. But he says the lemaisa one of two things. He refers to a Ramon in Siman Nun Zion. The Ramon writes, "Kol makom shubadai treifa apal pishin ishasa yud vizchodes v'huchai osur." So, is the 12-month survival a valid test or not? The Shach in Sivkot Memches here says, if it lasted 12 months, then he said it will only help by a suffix treifa. Why? Because he says that one of two things. In effect, we're saying he says. If it's true that a treifa can't live, and your animal lived 12 months, that means that it wasn't really a treifa. That means that whatever this thing was, wasn't a real treifa. Or, alternatively, it didn't develop the treifa until the very end. Right? So in which case, in either case, all the milk in the interim, you know, would be okay. Because, again, if it lived for longer, so then it wasn't a real treifa. So you put all this together, there's a lot of room to make up. The problem, which Rav Schachter and others were ma'orah, again, you know, this is in these articles from a few years ago, is the following simple question. That's all well and good when you're being done on one particular cow. You have a cow, and that's how a farmer, you know, you had a guy who was the milkman, you know, Tevye, you know, from the steppe, right? So he had a cow or two, and he provided the milk for the neighborhood. So now we're wondering, is this a treifa or not? So we'll go bust a road, and even if it turns out that there are many treifas, we have all these coolers. But today, that's not how it's done. Today, and I saw this once on a kibbutz, I'm sure other people have seen it also. Today, they line up, I don't know, dozens of cows, and they hook them up to some kind of an instrument, and they milk, you know, the instrument milks the cows, and it flows through these pipes into this enormous tank. Okay, and all the milk gets mixed together in this tank. Now, if that's the case, and we have a statistical understanding that there are X number, whatever the percentage, even if it's much lower than 90%, even if it's 20%, even if it's 10%, even if it's actually any more than 1.67%, we're going to have a vat of milk where there is not shishim, not 60 of the kosher milk against the milk that comes from the treif. If these statistics are correct, and you have 100 cows hooked up to this thing, and milk flows in, so let's say 5 of them are treifa, so now you have a mixture, a regular classic Yoredeya mixture, of milk from a treifa, together with milk from, even though it might be a rove, it might be, even if it's a rove of kosher animals, at least with drabona and lach to lach, and the mixtures of liquid, you require a ratio of 60 to 1, You don't have 60 to 1 unless, again, 60 to 1, it comes out to 1.67, right? So as long as you have two or more treifa cows, you now have a big vat full of milk that doesn't have shishim against the treifa milk. So how can we drink any milk? That's really the issue in a nutshell, yeah. So that's Bibi Yorke, the whole issue. That's what it comes down to. So that's what it comes down to. See, Rav Shechter's point, and there's an article in this publication, based on the Yisrael. They're going to have it here, but it's late, so I don't know, his name is Gavril Yehuda Ilovitz, I don't know exactly who he is, but, he brings this issue up, and he brings a riot from Mishnah Yaakov. I'm not going to read it, but he says, we know, and Rav Shechter's saying the same thing, just Rav Shechter says, over the point. We know, there's a vat, we know what kind of a rove is in Chazakah, that's we don't know. We have a statistical determination that we know that X number of animals are treifas. So therefore, for sure, in this tank full of milk, you have a mixture of milk from treifas and milk from kosher animals, from non-treifas, I mean, all kosher animals, non-treifas, and you don't have shishim, you don't have 60 against that milk, so how in the world are we allowed to do it? That's really the issue, and that's what people went through back and forth. I'll just mention a couple of the comments that some make of Levi Yitzchak Halpern, huh?
Was the media's reaction to it this?
It is, yeah.
It's not true.
Because?
We don't know.
Oh, so that, yeah, so the question is,
that's the first.
So the question is the statistical knowledge, is that sufficient? That's really what it comes down to. Okay? The truth is, since you mentioned, I'll read this verse, Rav Asher Weiss, in the Minchas Asher, again, next week's Sedra, in Parshas Mishpat, he actually is printed in one of these journals, just reprinted it here. He says, Vasher, Sha'al adati, b'dvar ma'asher, o'el achona b'inyan kashas acholov, yisod ha'shela ma'asher yadu, she'esh achuz nikar, there's a noticeable percentage, shal adahem ha'shem trefos, o'el ufachos sofek trefos, or at least the sofek trefos, in kain misaber, da'afta zinabos harov, umuto lishtos is chalavo, alechol es besar, shal kol behem u'behema, you can look at each individual animal, no problem, the lislos, and you can be taller, you can pin it that it's shehimin harov ha'ksheres, that it's from the rov, which are kosher, when you bring mixed together milk from hundreds of cows, there's a 20% treifas. The kaven she has treifas b'neim tzorach b'itul b'shishim, and you don't have it. So he says, "Lanias daiti kol amuhumah zeh b'tolus yisoda." It's a fundamental mistake. The yisoda tells mashechlifu bein din Torah the acher rabul hatos l'madae ha'statistika. You're mixing up the din of the Torah of Acher Avraham Hados with scientific definition of statistics. The af in omnam nochon adover said the established statistics, ef shalom al eder behemah shekulang sheiros. Even though statistically we're not allowed to say that we know that the entire flock or bunch, what they call herd, I've heard of cows, sure I heard of cows, right? So anyway, even though all of the, we can't say they're all kosher, and some of them are certainly no good. Achlo came b'din Torah, that's din basaro. Or if he mishpat a Torah, daininan b'kol behema din k'shera. Even here, Rav Asher Weiss writes that you have to look at each animal by itself, and this animal is labeled kosher. So even though when you group them all together, we know that some of the traits, it doesn't matter. That's the din of Acher Rabban Lahatos, and he says like this, he says, Hagabat Smecha, Tesha Chaninos Mochos Basa Shchuta, Vachas Nevela, 9 stores sell kosher, 1 says non-kosher. The Nimtsu Eser Chatichos Basa Menev, you found 10 pieces of meat. The Chiosur, do we have to assume, because even though statistically one of them out of the 10 statistically shouldn't be kosher, not allowed to eat it, it's not true. He says, let's say you have a city that most of the people are Jews, 60% are Jewish, and 40% are goyim. Over the years, you know, the Gemara brings this up, you find a child in the shuk, we don't know, is he a Jew or is he a non-Jew, an abandoned baby. So it goes by the role of the city. So Rashi says, let's say over the years they find 10 children, Okay, can you, and each one of them we don as a Yisrael, because it's Nina Basaruba, right, the Mishnah, the Gemara Ksubas. So he says, can we make a minion out of these guys? Later on they'll all become, can we make a minion? We have to say, no, statistically, four of them are not Jewish. So Avada not. Even so, he says basically, his point is, huh? Yeah. I don't know, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know how that works. Maybe it does. I have to think about it. I didn't see that word.
Would the cattle sell? Who knows? So can, from a tokenic point of view, we know that one of those or 10 of those
right.
would be a trademark. We know
right.
that.
Right.
Right. From some organ that we do not check for.
Right. Right. So that, right, we disregard it, but here. Right, but here we're saying that.
Why is that?
I have to think. I still see a difference. I can't articulate. I know. I see what you're saying. Right, because what he's saying is here, because there you still don each one individually. Here the milk is mixed together into one entity. Apparently that's what he's saying. Yeah, it comes out into the tank. Okay, it's a good horror. It's an interesting horror. I just want to mention Rav Levi Yitzchak Halpern. Huh? Yeah. It's more, right. That's how we. What's it called? Yeah. They, right. When? That's what you're asking, though. When does a shiloh come to the right? That's what we say. When we have about a pot, bust the color of a pot. Right. That's no the lifnat right. No the lifnat tervus alachat tervus. Okay. Let me just finish up because it's late. I just want to mention the Ramah. The truth is the Ramah, and I was the Levi Yitzchak Halpern is a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael who runs. One of those foundations that the technology in halacha, I forget the one in Bayit Pagan, right near what's the one called? I forgot what it's called. He wrote Nanachomay, huh? Not some whatever it is. One of these, you know, he's a big Talmud Chacham. He wrote on electricity and elevators and all this stuff, and there's all these gadgets. Anyway, so he wrote on this subject. He refers to Ramah. The Ramah actually has a case. The Ramah and Sif Beis, that same Sif and Payal, the Ramah has three separate comments. So we did the third, we did the first, here's the second. And Yesh Samach Behemos Be'edah, really the Shulchan Aruch first says, Im Hoysa Be'edah in Behemos Acheres, Nis Arad Chalav and Chalav Acheres, Hochem Lach Hashir Shishim. The Mechaber mentions 60, but says the Ramah, Im Yesh Samach Behemos Be'edah, V'lo Yadin and Bevada Shechalav and Atrefahi, Yosemech Bechalav Achas Acheres, He says you can. The Ramah says you can lie. That if they had 60 cows, and then they shechted one, and it turned out to be a treifa. Nevertheless, the Ramah says we can rely on the fact that all the others were not treifas, and you have the regular column of bitul b'shishim. So that's a pretty good raya. But again, and the Shach says he quotes. This Afal Gav de Lobo Dachnu Acheros, Adayin de Rove Hemus Bechesus Kashus Heim, right, even though we still continue to rely on the others, that's what Levi Yitzchak Halpern quotes in the Raya. Rav Heinemann has a different lumbus, we mentioned the Minchas Osher, but again, others agree, you know, who agree with Shechter. Shechter writes in this piece, Rav Belsky has a different response. Shechter's question is, in Yeshachal Apochos, 7.5% shall paras trefos, bevadai ein kan tamach levatol, okay? And he mentioned about visiting Johannesburg, and he says, despite this Ramah, he says, hello, in yesh kokach harbe behemos umdana, he shall e al koponim, bezo gimel trefos, eich yesh kan suffix shishim. It's not a suffix of shishim. We know, again, based on the statistics. So it comes out how strong is our reliance on statistical realities. It's interesting, and this of Shechter is willing to rely on, actually, it says in the other essay, the Marcheses, Chanoch Hanach Egis, the Marcheses of the Tshuva, and he mentioned this point, the mark I was alluding to before, it's a Chelek Aleph in his Tshuva, Shimon Choftas, the Marcheses says, there's a difference between milk and other parts of and the meat of the animals. He says, how do we know How do we know? You know, many times when we find a treifas, a certain sirchas, what's the problem? And there's a discussion that tells the problem is that maybe it's not a hole right now, but it's going to become a hole later. It's going to grow. Some of these adhesions, in the course of natural movement, I guess the animals eventually expand them, I guess they burst, whatever happens exactly, right, and they become holes. And that's part of the issue, at least according to some Rishonim. So why is that usher? She said, because the Pasuk says, Zos hachaya tochelu. You may eat these animals. Chaya achol she'en achaya lo tochlu. It means it's an israseh. Now he points to the fact that the Hagos, Maimonios, the Rambam, says that whenever you have an iser asay, when some meat is usr, not al talav, but it's only usr al an iser asay, which is a lower level iser, so then, for example, how do we know we're not allowed to eat, consume human meat, cannibalism, right? Why are we not allowed to eat it? That's an iser asay. That's it, because the zos achaya, that's the iser. And that's why milk, human milk is mutter. So he says, so therefore, when it comes to these type of treifas, most of these type of treifas, so it's only this rasei to begin with. It's only this rasei to begin with. It could be that the whole klal of the otzim and also doesn't even apply. That's the chiddush of our cheshes. And Rav Shechter says he's willing to accept. The only thing is you have to see that it's only these types of sirchas that are the problem, where it's going to grow into a hole. Anyway, lemaisa, as I said, that this is a summary in a nutshell of what the issue is. It boils down to, can we say that our statistical knowledge, is enough to say that we know there's a whole tank full of milk, and we know that there's not shishin against it, how can we drink it? Or do we say, like Rav Asher Weiss and the other say, no, the law of Rove still applies? And again, I'm not here to pass, I just wanted to present the issue. Someone wants to look at some of these letters, you're welcome to do it, and those are the issues. Agut Avach. Shabbat is tomorrow at 8 o'clock, yeah.